You're listening to the KB Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Cindy Stewart Podcast, a source for encouragement as you learn to discover God's dream for your life. With a passion to help you on your journey, here is your host, Cindy Stewart.
Well, this morning, I kind of wrap this up and talk about the five realms of biblical wealth. And really, the prophetic words, the worship, the word that Matt released, they all pour into what we're going to talk about today. You know, one thing that the Lord just keeps hammering in, I think he hammers it in, sometimes gently, sometimes with a little bit of oomph, but is the word consumes us. It is alive. And if we can live out of the word, then we are shielded from the world. The word shields us. It is our protector. So I want to talk about these five realms of biblical wealth. And I was with my friend Patricia King last week, and she talked about this, and she just touched on these, you know, five realms. But God began to unpack them for me and really began to talk about that's what we've been going after, is these five realms of biblical wealth, though we haven't put it in that category. But it is what God has provided for us. And we're going to talk about each one of them for a few minutes, but we're going to start in Deuteronomy 8. We're going to read a lot of scriptures, so gear up. Gear up for the word, because you know when the word is released, we consume it and it transforms us, right? It says, eat the word, and we're going to eat the word today. So verse 1 in Deuteronomy 8, it says, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply. Our commission is that we are to live and we are to multiply. And we are to live abundantly. And I'm going to try not to get ahead of myself, but we are going to multiply. And we're going to go in and possess the land of which the Lord has sworn to your fathers. We all have land to possess. Yes. This is part of the covenantal word of God to us. When we become a believer, we become part of his promise, his plan for the kingdom. His plan for the kingdom is for us to possess the land we live in. So we obey, we live, we multiply, we go in and we possess. That is what our call is to do. And he hasn't sent us to do it without reinforcement. He gave us his son to live in us so that we could do what he has assigned us to do. We've been commissioned. So that first verse really encapsulates everything. Amen. And really, Deuteronomy 8, we're not going to read the whole thing, but if you read the whole thing, it is prepping the Israelites to go into the promised land. And we are already in the promised land. Amen. So let's go on to verse 6. It says, therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. So he starts out, you know, you got to obey me and then go do what I've told you to do. And then he reminds them, keep my commandments and fear me. If we go to Isaiah 11, it talks about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is a beautiful thing. When we have the fear of the Lord, it's beautiful. It's not terrifying in the way the world understands fear. It's beautiful because it's protective in its very nature. God in its very nature gives us the fear of him as a protective measure, because if we have the fear of him, then we will not disobey him, because the fear creates a love bond with him that is protective. So God protects us in this. And verse 11, it says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. This is important to him. He just says it over and over and over again. You start with Genesis 1, he says it until the end of Revelation. You know, you gotta stay with me on this. He says, by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I've commanded you to do today. And this is an interesting part because he goes on to say, lest when you have eaten and are full, and you've built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty lands where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you from the wilderness of manna. So he's telling you, he's saying, look, I've already planned to multiply you. I've already planned. He's saying, when you are multiplied, when you live in your beautiful houses, when you have your silver and gold, when you have everything that you need, he's planned for us to have everything we need. We're going to have the biblical wealth because that's what he's already planned for. He has already spoken it over us. So learning to receive what he's handing out is part of the challenge in this biblical wealth. Because he said, I've already done it. And he goes through this whole thing. And not only have I done that, I've gotten you out of oppression. I've fed you with the manna, with the quail. I've done everything for you. But then you forget me. He's saying, don't forget who did this for you. Don't forget whose covenant you're in. Don't forget who the provider is that has allowed you to live in your beautiful houses, to have your silver and gold, to multiply, to live in the abundance that I have designated for you. Don't forget who I am because I am the one who has done it, right? I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of that verse. I'm going to start in 17. It says, then you say in your heart, my power and my might, the might of my hand has given me all of this. And this is where we forget that we're only here because he's made the covenantal promise and the way for us to be where we are. But we want to learn to live out of the fullness of what Deuteronomy 8 has declared and commissioned over us because we are people of God. Whew. That is good, God. I mean, he is good. When I read this, I was reading this through the week and I'm like, oh my gosh, sometimes I do forget. What I forget is he's promised us everything. And sometimes I live in only part of his promise because I forget the everything has already been spoken into me. It's already been given to me. I have his spirit that lives in me that gives me the ability to do everything he said here. Everything. Verse 18 says, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he. It is the Lord your God who gives you the power to get wealth. And there's a reason for it. It says that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers. And it is this day that it shall be if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I will testify against you. So we understand that God is jealous for his people. And he's not going to let you go flirting with some other God. Seriously. He is not going to let us do that because he is jealous for you. And he said, I will testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so shall you perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So he's saying, here, I've given you everything. But if you choose to go another direction, you will perish. And we know that's true. That is what the word says. If you give your heart to the Lord, then you will live now, abundantly, and eternally. Right? So let's talk about spiritual wealth, since we started out with, that's our first one, spiritual wealth. So we know that when we become born again, we enter in to a spiritual rebirth. Yeah. That we are no longer the old creation. We become a new creation in Christ. And with that comes everything that has been spoken by the Lord to his people. We become partakers of that. So we get all the promises for Abraham are the promises for us. The promises at Pentecost is the promise for us. We live out of what they've already endured. We live out of that fullness. So when we become born again, we move into becoming one with Christ. John 17 says that we are one with Christ. God lives in us. We live in him. When we are hidden in Christ, he is our hope. He is our glory. I mean, it is instant. Your spirit becomes perfected in Christ when you become born again. And we'll talk about the soul part in just a minute. So spiritual wealth occurs immediately when you become born again. We step into John 10:10, that the enemy's going to try to kill, steal, and destroy us. But Jesus says, oh, no, I've come to give abundant life and give it to you right now. I'm not talking about abundant life when you die. I'm talking about right now. I've come to destroy the works of the enemy. So when he comes against you, I've come against him. And who's going to win? It's not going to be the enemy. Who's going to protect his children? Right? He's going to destroy the enemy. So we have to understand. Let's just go to 1 John 1:5-7 for just a second. Spiritual wealth is given to us when we are born again. Bottom line. 1 John 1:5-7. Did I not give you that? I might not have, Noah. I had a whole bunch. I was trying to pare down a little bit. It says, this message, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And if he is in us, what does that mean? There's no darkness in us. Amen. Because the light of Christ lives in us. He lives in us. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So we can't walk in darkness because we walk in the light of Christ. We have been spiritually reborn. We have been given all the spiritual wealth that is possible when we become born again. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So with that comes the fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all of our sin. Say, all of my sin has been cleansed by the blood. We have to keep that in mind. I am not a sinner. My sin has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. If I make a mistake, then I just turn to the one who has already cleansed me, that reconciles that back to him, and I move forward. I don't dwell. I don't live in. I don't rerun the narrative in my mind of everything I've done wrong or what I did wrong yesterday. No, I keep my slate clean because what Jesus has done for me. If I live in where I was, then I don't really understand what he's done, right? Okay. And he's given us everything. He's given us wisdom. He's given us the seven spirits of God. He's given us power. He's given us the dunamis. With our spiritual wealth comes everything. Yeah. We have the power to heal. We have the gifts of the Spirit. We have the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, we have it all. Yeah. And God is showing us how to operate out of a spiritual wealth. Okay? Next is relational wealth. Now, relational wealth is very important to God. Because what does he say when Jesus is asked, what is the most important commandment? It is, I'm going to read out of Matthew 22:37-39. It is, Jesus answered him and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the greatest. That is the ultimate relational wealth, is loving God. That looked like that might be something we're going to have to think about for a minute. I got some puzzled looks there. But it is. I mean, that is it. When we're born again, there is a love that is set in our heart that God continues to grow because we are one with Him. And I don't think we'll ever understand the fullness of what God's love is to us, but He's teaching us the true love of a child, of a believer to Him, to a father. You know, He's teaching us how to love Him completely. Second part of it is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We have to love our neighbors, and we have to love ourselves. And it is hard to love our neighbors sometimes. It is. It is. And you know, that's because our relational wealth hasn't been fully manifested. Because we can learn to love our neighbors beyond what we're able to see in their natural state. Jesus sees us in the way He created us to be. And He's always pursuing us to be that very best. You know, I've created you to be this way. I've created you for your purpose. I've created you for whatever it is. And He is teaching us how to look at our neighbor that drives us crazy, or the person that sits beside us at work, or whoever it is, to look at them and say, Jesus, you've shown me them the way you see them. So all of this other stuff, that doesn't bother me at all. Because I can see what you see in them. I can see that they may not know you now, but they're going to be a new creation. I can see that their time is close. I can see that that stupid thing they did is not going to stir up my flesh. It's going to stir up my love. And when you start really praying, God, let me see them the way you see them, then our perspective completely change. You know, even though they didn't clean up the dog poo in my yard, that's okay. I can still love them beyond, you know, their capacity right now to do what's right. Can you love me beyond my capacity to do what's right? You know, there are things we all do that are not quite right sometimes. And we've got to learn to say, God, that person is driving me crazy, but what I need is I need your eyes and I need your heart. I need to look at them and say, I've got relational wealth. I've got the love of Jesus in me, and baby, I am going to put it on you. And all this other stuff you're doing, I'm just going to be like, Jesus loves you. You know, I'm going to pray in the spirit, and I'm going to look with my eyes and say, I can see Jesus. Come on, I can see Jesus. And it really is. Part of it is making a determination in your heart that that's what you're going to do. If you wait until you encounter someone that's bothering you, you're going to forget that that's what you're supposed to do. But if you determine in your heart now, God, when I encounter that aggravation, I have determined in my heart, I'm going to do what your word says, and I'm going to love them with the kind of love you loved me. So when I open my eyes and look at them, I'm going to see different. I'm going to see hearts. I'm going to see stars. I'm going to see wonder. I'm going to see possibility. But relational wealth we already have, we just need to use it. We need to learn how to access it. Yeah, it's definitely practice. You know, we live downtown St. Pete, and there is a lot of interesting people, and sometimes very aggressive. I go out real early in the morning. I go down by the water and go for a run or walk or whatever I'm going to do. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I have been afraid. Because I had one guy chase me across the street, you know, I was like, but he was just out of his mind, truly. And, you know, I'm just like praying, okay, Jesus. But I didn't feel like I was supposed to stop and engage. I kept a little quicker step. But the other day I'd stopped and there was this man in his wheelchair, and I've seen him before. And, you know, just all of a sudden I was just overwhelmed by, and I knew he was homeless. I was just overwhelmed by him. You know, he's looking for someone to feed him or give him money or whatever it is. And I just went over there and I talked to him. I said, what's going on with you? And he has some kind of leg infection. He was all bandaged up and he's got a wheelchair. And I'm thinking, good Lord. I just happened to have cash with me, which I usually don't. People are cashless now. And so I said, here's some money. Go get yourself something to eat. And he has a friend that pushes him around. And I'm thinking, Jesus, you've got something for him. I prayed for him to be healed. But I'm thinking, you know, he has a call. He has a purpose. He's gotten lost in the swirl of the world and doesn't see, you know, a possibility, a hope for a future. All he's trying to do is find something to eat for the morning. And I'm like, God, and I told him, I said, you need God's mercy and just start praying for healing over him. He can't even walk because his legs are all swollen and infected. And, you know, it'd been much easier to run the other way, honestly. But I just felt this like, yeah. Oh, compassion. Yes. I know it was something. But, you know, you just feel like, it's not like I can throw him in my car and there's nowhere to go. There's no place. And, you know, he said he was doing fine and he has his little routine, you know, sketched out. This is what he does to take care of himself. But, you know, we've just got to see people. I'm asking God to change my vision so I can see people the way he sees them instead of my natural reflex to them, I guess. So relational wealth, God has already given us all these things. And part of it is learning how to walk out this relational, these five realms of wealth that he has for us. So, and you know, part of the process, we know this, we talk about it all the time, is praying, it's declaring the word, it's believing what the word says. We understand that the word is alive. It's activated. When we speak it out of our mouth, heaven responds to it. So, we've got the power to do this. Part of it's the discipline of doing it, right? And we all have things that take away our discipline. But now I've said that, I just felt like that's really kind of an excuse. Okay, thank you, Lord, for just correcting me in front. Let's just get this done. He said there's no excuse not to have discipline. Okay, so the third one is physical wealth. Now, physical wealth is important to God. Us being whole and healthy, go back to Deuteronomy 8. You know, they went through 40 years fully clothed. In Deuteronomy 8, it says their feet didn't swell, their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't, you know, nothing happened. God has provision for our bodies to be whole. And I believe that, I'll just read 3 John 1:2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. God has a plan for us to be in wholeness. And part of it is our part that we have to do is do things that make us whole. Eat well, exercise, take care of ourselves. Part of it is to make sure that our soul is prospering, that there's no unforgiveness in our heart, that like even Matt mentioned, you know, he had to go through some things to get rid of his PTSD. And so sometimes we have to go through a process with counseling and get outside help to help our soul prosper. You know, sometimes our hearts have been traumatized. Sometimes there's things that have happened to us that we need help to get past. So we have to make sure our soul can prosper, our mind, our will, our emotions come underneath this physical wealth that God has planned for us. And then we do all that we can to follow the Lord's work in making our bodies whole. And we know that there are things in our body that happens, that we get things from diabetes, all different kind of things that the Lord wants to heal. He does heal supernaturally. He does heal with medicine. Just being faithful to make sure that we stay on track in the way God's physically made our body so that we can be whole. I was looking at a couple of scriptures because wholeness is a big thing for me. My mom and dad died both before they were 60, both of chronic diseases. My mom had COPD, and she basically suffocated to death. And then my dad had something. I'm trying to remember, colon cancer, I think, and he died. But you know, honestly, even when he found out he was sick, he wouldn't take care of himself. You know, and I was like, some people used to say to me, you're talking about those word curses, they'd say, well, you know, your parents didn't live past 60. You just have to see if you do. I mean, seriously. And I was like, no. I said, I am, you know, the word of the Lord says, and just fighting for health and for our family, that we would not have all the things that would keep us from living a long life. You know, my life verse is Deuteronomy 34:7. It says that Moses' eyes did not grow dim and his body did not lose his vigor. So basically, the Lord had to take him out, had to take him with him. That's what I want. I want the Lord to say, Cindy, you are so healthy and you are so strong that I'm just going to have to help you come to heaven. That you've done such a good job in being diligent in fighting for what is for you, which is physical wealth, that you're going to be like Enoch or Elijah, where I'm just going to have to swoop you up. I do dream about seeing my grandchildren's children. I dream about it. I think, wouldn't it be wonderful to have 4 and 5 and 6 generations that I could see? I you know, I don't mind. I just told God, I said, I'm not going to be in a wheelchair. I'm not going to be in a nursing home. I'm going to be upright and running until I go home, right? So, but I think I really believe it's possible for us. And I was laughing at this one scripture. It's 2 Kings 13, 20 through 21. And I love this scripture about Elisha. It says, then Elisha died and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they buried a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. That's how I want to be. That's how I want to be. I want God to be like, she's still electric. She's still on fire. If you want to be resurrected, go lay on her grave. I mean, I know, I'm sure that's not biblical. Don't send me any emails. That was just a joke. But really, you want to be where, until you take your last breath, God's like, send her, man. She'll do it. Send him. You know, she is alive and electric. I don't want to be passive and sedentary. I want to be someone that's like, oh, she's 110. Oh, she can take care of that. No problem. Oh, she's 112. Yes, send her. She'll be good. She'll be good. Send her to Africa. You know, she'll be fine. You know, send her. Send her. That's what I want. I'm like, God, if it says it in your word, then I want it all. I don't want 10%. I don't want 99%. I want 100%. And if I can have 110%, that's what I want. I want everything that's possible for why I live on this earth. For me and my family to serve the Lord and live in the fullness of the things that he has planned for us. I just will not take no for an answer. I've told the Lord that too. I said, you know, I want this and this and this and this. And then there's a few things like, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. You can, I'm not sure you can pick and choose, but yes. He knows my heart. Right? He knows your heart. He knows what you can do. We were laughing about, we were talking about Haiti last night and what a terrible time they're going through. And, you know, I was thinking about when I went down there and, you know, we just slept on the ground for 2 weeks. And, you know, you can do anything if the Lord's in it. Yeah. There's an anointing for sleeping on the ground. Yeah. It's been since I was a kid since I slept on the ground. But you know what? It was fine. It was fine. I took a shower. You had to close your eyes and mouth because the water was polluted. So if it got in your eyes and mouth, it could be a problem. Wow. But you know, when the Lord's in it, you can do anything. You could, I could go dig ditches if the Lord's in it. He would give me whatever I need to do it. And it was funny, while we were down there, we would sleep on the ground, but the Haitians would stand around us and watch us sleep. It was a little unnerving the first night. I was like, but you know what? They're beautiful people. Just like all of us, we're beautiful people. And you know, we can do anything if the Lord's in it, right? Okay, number four is provisional health. Provisional wealth. You know, in Deuteronomy 8, it talks about that we're going to live and multiply. That when we're in our houses, when we have our silver, when we have our gold, just don't forget that the Lord has provided us with provisional wealth. And God wants to teach us how to live out of His abundance. And I know that growing up, my dad was actually a CPA and worked for a huge manufacturing company, but he was also bipolar. And so when it was well, it was very well. So we had everything in abundance. But when it was not well, it was very unwell and the power was turned off. So we would have breakfast for dinner. I thought it was because it was just, that's what my mom liked to do. But, you know, eggs go a long way when you're feeding five kids and you don't have any money in the bank. And I just didn't know that when I was a kid. I just, you know, I thought, now I knew when the power went off, I knew we had a problem. When the power and the water went off, I knew we really had a problem. But my mom knew how to go turn the water back on. Well, she couldn't do the power back on. But, you know, from that, I was like, you know, I didn't know what to think. My dad made a lot of money, but he also spent a lot of money in those manic times. And back then, there weren't really credit cards, so we didn't have credit cards. But does anybody know what floating a check means? Yeah. Well, I learned all about floating a check when I was about 8 or 9 years old. And sometimes we would go grocery shopping on the other side of town because it'd take the banks 2 weeks to clear a check. So, you know, we could go buy groceries at the A&P that was on the other side of town because the check wouldn't clear before we got paid. So, yeah, well, I mean, you know, nowadays you can't do that. Mm-mm-mm. But, you know, back then, I didn't, you know, when you're 9 or 10 years old, you don't really understand all that. You just think that's the normal of the world, but that's not the normal of God's economy. You know, faith is our currency. What we believe the word does activates the word for us. And you look through all the different things, you know, the Israelites didn't have food. Well, they got manna. Then they didn't like manna. They were getting bored with it. So they got quail. You know, God has an economy that we don't understand. And we have access to that economy and just learning how to partner with God in it so that we're not worried about the currency of the world. We're worried about the currency of God that provides for us in the world, right? Yeah. You know, when Jesus had to pay tax, you know, they had to pay taxes to Caesar. Well, go check that fish out. He's got it. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any sense to us, but that's because we don't have a supernatural perspective of an economy that isn't cash credit or tap with your phone, you know, the tap. I don't know about you guys, but we didn't have internet till like 3 o'clock yesterday. So nobody could take anything downtown. Wherever we went, you had to have cash. And like, who has cash? I just happened to have a little cash on me because I had to have a cup of coffee. You know, I went up and it says no pre-orders, nothing but cash. But, you know, it's a weird, I know that was weird. We literally, we had no internet all day. What did we do before internet? But just think, you know, Jesus's economy, when he broke the bread, he's like, oh, so we only got a few here, a few there. He's like, that is not, I'm not worried about the economy of the world. I'm not worried about those fish and loaves because I have an economic access to a heavenly realm that has provision that is beyond what I have in front of me. So when we think about provisional wealth, God has created us to be stewards of things, of finances, of houses, of bicycles, of cars, of material things. He's made us stewards of that. He didn't put us on the earth and say, everything that has to do with finances, don't have anything to do with it. He put us on the earth and said, I want to give you abundance so that you can be the kingdom influencers on the earth. And so learning how to tap into that provisional thing. And like I said, all of these things can be tapped in through the word. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord and its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. So if the earth is the Lord's and we are the Lord's and we are kingdom brokers for God, then everything on the earth is ours too. So God, open up my eyes to see what it is you want me to broker for you. Where it is you want me to increase. Finances is a big thing right now. And part of it is because there is a squeeze on finances, but God is blessing his people. He's looking for people that he can increase in order to take territory. He's looking for people who want to buy land. He's looking for people who want to have rental income. He's looking for people who want, I talked about last week, the word of the Lord that he gave me was, he's looking to put passive income in your hands. So have you been praying about what is your passive income? You know, God wants to push it out to you. You just have to say, I want it. Not, you know, I can't live out of what I experienced as a kid, even as a teenager. You know, my mom and dad got divorced. My dad decided that he wasn't going to pay child support or any alimony. So we had to sell our house. We sold all of our furniture. Everything we knew was gone. And, you know, it just was what it was. We moved into an apartment. It was just, you know, I was 14, maybe 15. And you're like, it doesn't make any sense. But I could live out of that, or I could live out of an economy that God has provided for me. And it took a little bit for me to, I mean, I was scrambling because I was like, I'm never going to be in that situation. So there's my vow that I had to break because I said, I'm never going to do that. I'm going to control everything myself. But really, it took time to get out of that, you know, am I going to have enough money till the end of the month? But the more I began to, well, married Chuck, you know, he's a good provider. But, you know, but when we first got married, we both got paid once a month. After we paid our bills at the first month, we had $25 that lasted us the rest of the month for gas, for food, for everything. And, you know, he ate a lot of scrambled eggs for dinner, too. But, you know, you just keep pressing on and going for everything that God has for you. So God has given us the capacity to create wealth. And wealth for everybody is different. But God, what is my capacity to create wealth? And whatever that is, just show me, and that is what I'm going to do. Because he'll give you the creative ideas. He'll give you inventions. He'll give you different ways to think about it. I mean, that's what he does. He wants you to be successful. He doesn't want you to love money because we love him. If we love him, then we don't care about money because we know the love for God will provide everything we need, right? Anyway, let's move on to that. And I'm going to say something else because I thought this was interesting. We got to remember tithing. We got to remember sowing and reaping. I mean, that's just basic one-on-one Bible. But Patricia was telling us when we were talking, she said, so this is what's funny. She said, and she did a little video on it. She says, when I pay my tax bill, she says, I don't have any grudge or anything. It's my seed into the government. So I pray over my seed. And I tell the Lord, I'm sowing the seed into my nation. And I'm declaring it will be only used for righteous things. And she said, every time anything that has to be paid in, I declare that this is my seed to further my nation. And I thought, now that's a change of perspective that we all need. And she said, so I don't have any hard feelings about paying my taxes because I see it as my seed to my nation to help it grow. So I thought that was kind of an interesting perspective. I have never thought of that. Never, never. Yeah, she prays over it. She says it can only be used for righteousness. Only be used. Protect my seed, Lord. So I thought that was really good. Okay, our last one is influential wealth. Who are you influencing? Just think. Just think about the people in your sphere of influence, whether it's your family, your children, your boss, your coworkers, the people that work for you, your neighbors. Who are you influencing? It's important to realize that part of the kingdom message is for us to be the light to the world, for us to influence. And we don't need money to have influence. What we need is kingdom wealth, which is spiritual, it's physical, it's provisional, all of those things. If I'm in perfect health and I'm just like going for it, I'm going to be an influence to people. They're going to be like, hi, I ask people all the time, people ask me all the time, how do you play tennis? How do you play so much tennis? Well, because I work hard so I can play. So when we're in physical health, when we're in financial, when we're in relational health, why do you have such a good relationship with your children? How do you do it? I mean, people ask. People want to know. You're an influencer to the people around you by the demonstration of Christ in you, right? So we all have the ability to, as Matt said, influence for the negative or the positive. But when we carry these five realms of kingdom wealth with us, we are always being an influencer to other people because people see us as the light on the hill shining and they're trying to figure out why. Why do you have it so good? Why? And that's our perfect opportunity to be an influence to them. So influential wealth is a big one for us too. So all five of these are important. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the big vision and I sent that out to y'all. I hope you guys are doing your big vision and really going after it. I'm going to read one last scripture and then we're going to be done. Okay. Remember, faith is our currency. Faith changes everything for us. Matthew 13:23, it says, but he who receives seed on the good ground. We are good ground. These five things I talked about, we're good ground. God is sowing that into us. Is he who hears the word, who understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Okay. So we've heard the word today. Did you understand the word? Okay. So you've heard it and you've understood it. That means you will bear fruit and you will produce, just like Deuteronomy 8 says, that you will live and you will multiply, right? And you will produce some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So I want to read this one little thing out of Kenneth Copeland that I picked up for Kenneth Copeland's ministry. It says, so what is 100-fold exactly? I always ask for 100-fold. I don't want 30. I don't want 60. I can't help it. I want it all. I do. I want 100. And like I said, if I can have 110 or 150 or, 100, I want it all. But it says, how much is 100-fold? We often think of it as 100 times the original seed sown. But in reality, it could be much greater than that. More accurately, the 100-fold return is simply the greatest possible return on any particular seed sown. So he said, for example, an apple seed would be a strong, healthy tree that produces an abundance of high-quality apples every year. So what we sow continues to produce. It will get the greatest return than any stock market's ever going to give you, right? So when we're talking about we're going to produce 100-fold, that means we're going to produce the greatest possibility for the kingdom of God, the greatest, not just 100 times, but the greatest possibility. He said, when we believe God for the 100-fold return in our lives, we believe for the greatest possible return on every seed we sow. And you, it says, and I thought this is interesting because Matt said something about this. You can discover what the greatest possible return on your seed sown by spending time with God in worship and prayer. After we tithe and sow seed, our role is to let Him reveal to us what we should believe for in regard for our harvest. Amen. Amen. Okay, that's it. But I want you guys to stand. We're just going to come into agreement that we have the ability to not only live, but multiply and produce 100-fold, right? Yes. And if you don't want 100-fold, I'm just going to pray you get it anyhow. I just can't help myself. I'm going to want it for you, okay? That's why you should tell my kids, I want it for you. So, Father, we just thank you that your word has explained to us so much this morning that we are to live and multiply. We are to remember you, that you're the one who's provided this realm of wealth to us. And God, teach us to not only see with your eyes, but learn how to live the fullest in each of these realms. Because God, we want all that you have for us. We don't want to miss a thing. And we know that that is your heart. You've created us for the all. And we just say, yes, Lord, we receive your all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you are encouraged. If you would like more content like this, please visit cindy-stewart.com. We'll see you next time.